from a long distance when the church is right there in your town is kind of difficult, and everybody wants to come back. So do I. I want you to come back also. But this is where we are. Church is where you are right now. And that is the most important thing, that even in spirit, we're congregating together, being of one mind, and presenting ourselves to God. Let us pray. Miraculous God, come to us now, even as your Son came to the first disciples on the shores of Galilee. Speak your peace to our hearts. Touch us with your Holy Spirit. Reveal your word, that we may hear your message this day and live as your disciples in the days and years to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Watching. unfailing love.
Our God belongs to all people and treasure each individual. Let us pray for them right now. Holy friend, healer, and liberator, we lift up before you those people who are this very moment are suffering from illnesses, from broken relationships, for those that feel lost, those that are mourning, for the brokenhearted, and for those that are the recipient of cruelty of others. Please have mercy on all of your creatures. O God, forgive our human iniquities and heal our many diseases. Lord of us all, help your church to do whatever we can to lessen the multiple sufferings of humanity. Encourage each one of us to rest on our own pain and grief in your infinite hands. And may your mercy not cease to cover us. And we not cease to pray in Jesus' name as we lay everything, Lord, all the ones we love, all the ones we know, in Jesus' name, we lay them at the foot of the cross. Please have mercy on our church, on our school, on our community, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it is in his name that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we will forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Face the thorns were on his head.
The scripture for today is from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. It's a familiar story, but we have a lesson with it today. It reads, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming in that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. As the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come into this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we always hear the story of Zacchaeus, you know, and it's such a difficult name to pronounce. So I know that I'm not doing it justice, so I'm putting my disclaimer right here, right now, that just this is the best that I can do on his name. The name Zacchaeus means pure or innocent. As a tax collector, Zacchaeus didn't live up to his name. It was not a secret that his wealth was gained on the backs of his neighbors and his countrymen. Even Jesus acknowledged the hatred people had for tax collectors. He said in Matthew 18 and 17, if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. They were certainly unpopular. Excessive Roman taxes were a hot topic in Jesus' days, and tax collectors were working directly for the Roman occupation. Zacchaeus became rich by using his position to take as much as he wanted from other people. This behavior is something we all need to guard against. So let's look at some lessons we can learn from Zacchaeus today. First, we don't have to climb a tree to see the truth. Zacchaeus was not a tall man and had to climb a tree to see Jesus. Yet Zacchaeus already knew who Jesus was and that he was worth seeing. We too, through the word of God, have full access to the complete truth of who God is. And just like Zacchaeus, Jesus must visit our house today. He has no requirements for us before he comes to visit. We don't have to make all things right with our dealings before letting him in. He already knows who we are and what shape our house is in. And he wants to come anyway. His presence alone and his love for us will lead us into do things we never thought we could do. Even admitting where we have been wrong and then making them right. Two, In this story, Luke tells us no one is beyond saving. Tax collectors were hated by the Jews. They were agents of the Roman Empire, collecting on levies and taxes for Caesar. They had wide authority to persecute those who did not pay and were also able to increase their fees beyond what was required, as long as he sent the appropriate amount back to the Romans, he could keep whatever else he had collected. As such a man, Zacchaeus had accumulated large amounts of dishonest wealth. The fact that he was a Jew made it even a double betrayal. He was no better than a traitor, but Jesus will soon make the point that even such a man as this one can and should be saved. When we see Zacchaeus doing whatever it takes to get to Jesus, Jewish men did not run because it seemed undignified, and they will never climb a tree because they could be exposed to those who pass under them. But when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, he ran ahead of the crowds and climbed a tree just to catch a glimpse of him. He did what was necessary to get to God, regardless of what others thought. Fourth, then the unexpected happened. Jesus addresses Zacchaeus directly and told him what he expected of him. And Zacchaeus hurried and came down, overjoyed that Jesus had reached out to him and did everything within his power to obey him. Five, we also need to be ready to welcome Jesus into our own hearts. Zacchaeus proved that he was ready to hear Jesus through his actions. He, no doubt, had to leave his taxing tables, his livelihood, and a symbol of his ill-gotten gains in order to seek Jesus out. He had to change. He had broken every social norm to get close to him, and when Jesus finally did speak to him, Zacchaeus responded immediately. His mind and heart were prepared beforehand, and he was willing to respond when the Lord called him. We should learn to adopt that mindset and the attitude when Jesus called us into doing something that we consider it strange, difficult, and sometimes even impossible. Six, Jesus also called on us, and you need to be prepared to confront your prejudices. The call is not only on Zacchaeus and did not come only at that time. This call comes on us every single day of our lives. The response of the crowd around Jesus is also very telling. They look down on Jesus because he had chosen to eat with someone they thought was a sinner. They look down on Zacchaeus because they thought that he was beyond saving. He had made his choices and turned his back on his people. Jesus broke through these barriers frequently, as he still does now. He confronted people's preconceptions about sinners by saying that they were the very people he came to serve and to minister to. We must always remember that at one time or another, others are judging our faith by our actions. So while it's very common and popular when people don't like us to say, oh, and so-and-so is a Christian, let people know who you are, that yes, you are a Christian, and you live by the law of Christ, and you will try to do right all the days of your lives. Seven, we also need to acknowledge Jesus as both Lord and Savior, not only at the time of professing our faith, but in every day and in everything. Zacchaeus addressed Jesus as Lord, when he speaks to him. And then Zacchaeus acknowledges Jesus as the Lord of his life with no other person or thing or priority in front of Jesus. This applies to all Christians today. Yes, it is true that he's saved us. But the point of his salvation is that we can use our redeemed and restored lives, yielding to his will over our own. 8, we then need to do whatever it takes to change our lives for the better. Zacchaeus promises to take drastic measures to right the wrongs he had done and to live his life in a better and more righteous way. He promises to give much of his wealth to the poor and to go above and beyond in repaying what he took illegally from others. Such actions will have depleted much, if not all, of Zacchaeus' wealth. It might well have left him with nothing when he was done, but he didn't care about that. All he cared about was following his Lord. His priorities were finally straightened out. Money was no longer the driving force of his life. He could gladly give up the money for the sake of following Jesus. And money is not the only thing that needs to be set straight in our own lives. Forgiveness, control, indifference, prejudices, gossip, all these are things that we need to look at today, because all or any of these things live among us and they need to be made right. 9, we then need to yield to what God puts on our hearts. We might not be called to the same level of extravagance in our giving as Zacchaeus was committed to, but whenever God lays a path or action on your heart, you should not compare it to someone else or try to justify it in a lesser course. That is for each of us to decide on our own. We can seek wise counsel and consider the implications of our actions, and we should always consider whether such feelings come from God or from our own thoughts. But the bottom line is that we should be obedient to whatever God tells us to do in order to follow him. Many times in my own ministry and in everybody's life, we think we're hearing something from God, and it becomes apparent that we are, but we're actually shying away from it. We talk ourselves into thinking it's my own imagination. Well, why didn't he ask somebody else? Well, I'm not qualified. I shouldn't be there. I should not go there. That's not my cup of tea. But God continues to put it in front of you, continue to bring it into your mind. What you need to do when that happens, and when you feel uncertain, and when you feel that this is not what you think God wants for you, is actually put it in prayer. That's what I do. I put it in prayer. And then after praying about it, I ask God to give me a sign, to give me an answer. And I expect that answer. And sometimes I can see that it was just my mind telling me about a good idea, but it wasn't God-given. And other times it is God-given, and I'm the one that thinks it's not a good idea. Zacchaeus was moved by Jesus' love to do things he promised. For him, those were necessary steps to proving what he had fully submitted the rest of his life to God. What steps are you willing to take in righting the wrongs in your life today? 10, and we have to take steps, faith and actions. Yes, they are different, but they do work together. One cannot work apart from the other. Zacchaeus will not have been justified simply by giving away his money, nor will he have been justified by taking any other action. Those were outward signs of a changed heart. God can see our heart. Our true motives are not hidden from him. The one that we can always lie to is others and ourselves. But eventually, the truth of God comes out, and you know in one way or another that your motives, when you push your actions forward, were not the best for the people that affected, for the things that surround you, for the actions that you needed to take yourself. Our works do not save us, our good intentions neither. Only faith in God does that. But one way we can be sure that our faith is real is by following up with and carrying out by our actions. Our good works are a sign of faith. They're not a gateway to it. 11, and then we all need to remember why Jesus came. Jesus restated the purpose of his ministry. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save. Seek and to save the lost. We should remember this in our own personal ministry for God and have that as our guiding goal for fulfilling the Great Commission, which we all have been given. Go out and make disciples for Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have made known to us the things of the kingdom today. Show us how to apply what we have learned in this service to our daily lives. Help us to make wise choices throughout the week for the glory of your name. May we be able to sift through all that we have learned so that we can walk in your ways. Father, give us wisdom that leads to love and faith. In Jesus' name, we believe and we pray. Amen.
It is love. as well.
And now receive this blessing from the Lord. Go to celebrate the God who is our home forever. God loves goes with you. Go to follow Christ's example in loving God, self, and neighbor. God love goes with you. Go with the Holy Spirit to change the world with love. God's love goes with you. God bless you all.